Translation. You are an ordinary student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishments? You cannot review this poetry because you do not know anything about it. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Keshav Kashmiri first wanted to bluff Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying that since he was not an advanced student in literary style, he could not review a full verse of metaphors and literary ornaments. This argument has some basis in fact. Unless one is a medical man, he cannot criticize a medical man. And unless one is a lawyer, he cannot criticize a lawyer. Therefore, Keshav Kashmiri's first depreciated the Lord's position. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to the champion a student of grammar. How could he dare criticize a great poet like him? Lord Chaitanya, therefore, criticized the poet in a different way. He said that although he was certainly not advanced in a literary career, he had heard from others how to criticize such poetry. And as a Shruti Dhara, possessing complete memory, he could understand the process for such a review. Please repeat after me. Sorry, I'll just read it myself. Just reading Prabhupada's translation again. You're an ordinary student of grammar. What do you know about literary embellishments? You cannot review this poetry because you do not know anything about it. So here, a big scholar is speaking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Nimai of Nadia at this time in his career. He was a born genius and became very quickly, even though he didn't want to go to school, I guess geniuses are peculiar like that, often highly eccentric, isn't it? You have to just be patient to catch the genius in what they're saying. Otherwise, you could be distracted by all the idiosyncrasies of a genius. There was one, who was it, the son of, was it Shivananda's son? Who, when he was just a little boy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to chant. He said, Bolo Hare Krishna. And the little boy wouldn't say a word. He wouldn't move. He just stared back. I believe this child was the same child who, when he was a small baby, he was sucking on the toe of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I don't know what we'd have to say about that today for the sannyas ashram, if we were to see such a thing. But the baby was sucking on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's toe. Anyway, when Mahaprabhu told him to chant, he wouldn't open his mouth. He stood silent, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I got the whole world to chant. I got the whole West Bengal, wherever. Everything is the world in poetic language. I got everybody to chant, but I can't get your son to chant Shivananda. But later on, in a moment when he did speak, he recited beautiful Sanskrit poetry verses of glorification of Lord Chaitanya to everyone's amazement. Yeah, genius. Sometimes we wouldn't recognize it. We have to look out for it. So, Nimai, he didn't even want to go to school. Yeah. He created so many problems at home. And anyway, within a short time, he became an incredible scholar of Vyakaran. Everything in Navadvip was all Navya-nyaya, which meant the unsentimental approach to the absolute truth through rationalism, through questioning, the endless questioning of what substantiates meaning. So devotion wasn't appreciated in that atmosphere. And thus, Srivast Thakur, when one of the teachers, Devananda, was speaking about Lord Krishna, Srivast Thakur felt a little tearful, reflecting on the Lord of his heart. And when he was seen to be tearful, they threw him out of the class for being sentimental. So Mahaprabhu, as a child, was a great scholar. But as it goes, there are great scholars, and then there's Digvijay pundits, who are the all-conquering scholars. And Keshav Kashmiri, when he came to Navadvip, then he was challenging Nimai. Oh, you're Nimai Pandit. And Nimai was being very humble in his response. This is Sadhu Bhushana. The ornaments of a devotee, of a sadhu, are in the qualities. There's one verse in the Niti Shastra that states, Guna rutamatam yati no cherasana sanstita prasada sikarastopi kaka kim garudayati. That the height of one's seat, na uchar asana, it's the height of one's seat is not what's important. Gunar uttamatam yati no chera asana sanstita. It's the qualities that a person possesses. Gunar uttamatam yati na uchar sanstita asana. The height of one's seat doesn't determine one's greatness. It's one's qualities. It's the qualities of a person that determine the person's greatness. Yeah? Likewise, it's not the tilak, the kanti mala, the garland, the bagal bandi, the dhoti, the sari, the tattoos, the huge kanti mala, japa bead bag, it's so big, you know, huge japa mala inside. It's easy to grow all the external things and to objectify one's spiritual progress in those things, but only to perhaps wake up to our own superficiality years down the line and then start to pick up on some real spiritual advancement again. It's not in any of those things. It's in the very qualities of a person. Guinaru tamatam yati na ucherasana sangstita. Prasada sikaristo pi. Kaka kim gurudayati. Just because a crow may sit on the top of a temple or a palace on the sikara, it doesn't make him Garuda. So qualities are everything. The substance. Our substance. The substance of what we are. So many people come to the temple and have such an expectation that they should be in the ideal place of behavior. And then they meet all of us. Far from the ideal. Aspirants of the ideal. And sometimes that can be very off-putting for them. Completely. Some time back I shared a little story of a lady who came to the temple on an important occasion in her life, having lost her husband. And as she came close to Prabhupada, she just wanted to know what time the curtains would be open, but somebody was fanning Prabhupada and she just tapped them and they went, "Oh, don't touch me, I'm clean." It's, you know, sure, a pujari has to be clean, isn't it? And pujaris, they need to be particular about cleanliness, isn't it? It's like sometimes in the corridor, one of the pujaris may come walking by and go, "Hari Bol, we haven't seen you for ages," and come to give you a hug, and you're thinking, I've just been to the bathroom. Or, you know, I just ate, whatever. You know, because they're fulfilling the responsibilities of the worship. Isn't it? Prabhupada said, the primary lessons of deity worship are punctuality and cleanliness. Right? Be on time and be clean. That's the first thing in deity worship, yeah? Be clean and be on time. That's like the antithesis of teenage years. I don't know if any of you have teenage children. So, these are qualities. It's so important. It's drilled into our priests. But when a guest who's completely unfamiliar with everything is so humanly vulnerable, who has come expecting an ideal experience of spiritual life, like it says in all of our promotional materials, And they come, the first person they meet, they just want a little information. They go, "Don't touch me, I'm clean." Oh, I met that lady at the Goshala. I said to her, "Is everything okay?" And she said, "Well, not really. I feel so unclean." I said, "What?" And then she told me the story. Oh, Krishna. More important than physical cleanliness is cleanliness of the heart, which is expressed through the qualities of the ornaments that we wear, the bhushana, vibhushan, the ornaments of a devotee. I know Mangal Sutras are beautiful and very expensive. I don't even think they're part... Are they still part of the wedding ceremony, Mangal Sutras? Or is it some brand now, jewelry that's being used? Mangal Sutras and bangles and earrings and ankle bells and men. There's such a thing with tattoos now. Body ink. Was it inking the body? Whatever. Men, it's, you know, your dhoti, it's the front pleat. It's, of course, I've never really seen anything noteworthy at the manor in terms of front pleats. But more than all of these things, the ornaments are the qualities that we have. Yeah? Prabhupada also quoted another verse by Chanakya. Ekapi gunavun putra nirgunena satena kim Ekas chandras tamohanti nachatara sahasrasa. Ekopi gunavan putra. Putra means son. Let's take it as meaning sons and daughters, because in all the traditional texts, it's very spoken in that way. Yeah? History. That's why it's called history, because it's his story. So they say. Anyway, Ekapi Gunavan Putra. A child who is Gunavan is more, it means full of qualities, is more than Nirgunena Satenakim, is more than thousands who aren't. This is a good verse for school teachers. Anyway, a dependent, a child, or whomever, let's say any person who is full of good qualities, is more than thousands who aren't. Ekas chandras tamohanti nachatara sahastrasa. It takes a moon to light up the sky of stars, not just any one individual star. So qualities are everything. These are the mark of a Vaishnava, qualities. And with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, reading about his qualities are like, it's just a whole meltdown experience. Here's this big scholar come to him. He's before his students, and this scholar's challenging him about his learning. And his response? I'm not a very good teacher myself. I'm just a student. I can't explain things very well, and none of my students can understand me. And he was really meaning it. This was his astra. Sangopang astra parshadam. Yagyai sankirtana prayer yajanti hi shumedisaha. Krishna varnam tusha akrishna. Always singing the name of Krishna. Akrishnam. But not dark like Krishna. Golden. Sangha, Upanga, Astra, Parsadam. And he came surrounded by people of the same caliber, all chanting and all bearing good qualities. Whether expansions of him, expansions of him, or just jivas or souls who were completely enthralled with the whole experience and living the same. But amongst all those beautiful terms, it says astra. Yeah? And astra means? I remember it's one of the first shocking things I came across in the texts of the Hare Krishnas. After I, 1983, I came and stayed for a week in a temple. And because there had been a misprint in one of the early printings of the Bhagavatam, they were giving them away quite cheaply. So they gave me the first canto, and they were like three volumes or something, big things, and I was on the train going back to Glasgow. I mean, I was still quite rough, coarse. I am still, but I mean, I was really living a bad experience of material life. Very toxic and volatile. And as I was going home, I was looking at the pictures. And as I flipped them open, there was somebody lying on their back with a huge gray beard filled with arrows from head to toe. And then they were talking about, well, I can now pronounce it, Brahmastras. They were conjuring up mantras and throwing huge weapons at each other. Yeah. They weren't just talking about it. Like there's a lot of talk right now. They weren't just talking about it. They were chanting mantras, empowering huge weapons, and trying to destroy things and neutralize destruction. Astra is the most powerful of ancient mystical weapons. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mystical weapon, astra, was his beauty. His beauty. His beauty, his qualities. They're just unfathomably endearing. For the students of Bhakti Shastri, in the quality of all auspiciousness, Subhada. There three things are mentioned, right? Do you remember the three things? This is now your oral exam before you get your certificate today. What were the three things? Pradattvam. Devotional service. Should I give you a clue? Shukha pradattvam. Makes the devotee, it gives happiness. Shukha pradattvam. Devotional service, guna pradattvam. It gives all the good qualities to a person. And sadgunadi pradattvam, shukha pradattvam. There's one more. I'm going to fail the test myself now. I'll come back to it. But the main point about this all auspiciousness in the life of devotion and the life of a devotee is that it said Jagat Prinanadi Dvaya Pradattvam. That's the first one. The one I was forgetting. Jagat Prinanadi Dvaya Pradattvam. The devotional life, by one's embracing of it authentically, truly, sincerely, deeply meaningfully, and deep introspection, embracing that life, then Jagat Prinanadi Dvaya Pradattvam, as the qualities begin to manifest, a devotee becomes endearing to others, and others are endearing to them. An endearing presence. Not an awkward presence. Not a troubling presence. An aggravating presence. A proud presence. A hard-headed, brash presence. Prininaya means a loving presence. An affectionate presence. An endearing presence. They are both endearing, and others are they're endeared by others. They're endearing towards others. They're loving and loved. The cultivation of Vaishnav qualities or good qualities bring us closer to our soul nature and therefore make us more lovable by others. The further we move from our ego, and the more we come to the nature of our soul, naturally, we're at comfort with ourselves, and others are naturally at comfort with us. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda. Now all of these good qualities ultimately are the ornaments of something which is moving in a direction. The direct, call it self-realization, self-integration, self-actualization. Moving towards self-realization, and then acting in the capacity of our Atma, our soul, in relation to divinity or Lord Krishna, the All-Beautiful. Everything that stands in the way of that loving benevolence. Yeah? This isn't just about devotion. Yeah, prema pumata mahan, kriti sadhya bhavat sadhya bhava sa sadhanabhida. The ultimate purpose of every routine, every prescription, every activity that we do in devotional life or in service is in the absolute hope and longing that love, true love, unalloyed love, unadulterated love, selfless love, and benevolence will manifest in our heart. That we will become such loving people. Prescriptive devotion means that we learn the prescriptions and we move from our head. Yeah, that's not good. This is better. We should do it this way. Yeah? It's like a scriptural, what do you call it? When we're going through the Sadhu Shastra and Guru in our head, and then we calculate, we make the decision, this is how we should move forward. This is how I should move forward in this situation. Vaidhi Bhakti, prescriptive devotion, is all coming from the region of our head. The journey here is first to move from our senses to our head. And then move from our head, the longest distance of all, to our heart. And that then our life is an expression of our heart in devotion to Krishna. That's bhakti, prema bhakti. It's the expression of love. Sudha sattva visheshatma prem suryansa samyavak. It's the very ray of the sun of love, radiating within us and radiating out from us. This is the purpose. This is the goal. And it's just, I was remembering he was a public speaker. He was like speaking to corporates and all the rest of it. His name was Humphrey. I can't remember his second name. You can probably look him up. He led, some of you might know about this. He was like the person who led Chelsea to so many wins. He was the person who led the British to the top in the rugby or whatever. He was a person who worked through the Olympics. He was a person who sailed around the world in a little sailing boat with a few people. He was the one invited by Harvard University to study and to write about what it means to be success, what it means to win. I mean, he's somebody to listen to. And I was listening to him, he was saying that on that little boat in the ocean, first you need to make sure that all the anything that's not completely required of absolute essential nature, consider this going to India now. Okay? Because Niskanchana is going to go through your stuff before you go. You don't need that. Sham, we don't eat chocolate. Put that away. Do you need that iPhone? Prabhu, take my food away, but don't take my phone. He said nothing and everything off the boat. Nothing there that's not of essential importance to the mission of sailing around the world. Yeah. Then he said, and the team, the most experienced person was leading the crew. Everyone got instructions once. If you didn't follow them, you were off the team. Immediately. No time waste. Prabhu, we should do this, we know we'll do that. I'm not sure about how we should do it. We would consult another 10 people. Let's have a meeting about it. Yeah, and on and on and on like that. How did Prabhupada spread the world, the Krishna consciousness around the world? In a decade? He had a vision. And his senior disciples, although it was quite unbelievable for an old man who was initially sharing his bathtub with four other people, homeless in New York, he had a vision and they just believed him. They believed him. And that combination of Prabhupada's vision and the believers, I mean, wow, they didn't waste time. All excess weight off the boat. Everybody, the instructions, just get on with them. And when those big waves come, and we're in the ocean, I don't know if any of you have ever been in the ocean, deep, in the ocean on a boat. Sometimes, well, we've seen it on TV, haven't we? The waves are so huge, you think, how is a little boat going to survive? He said, you just look for the crack in the wave. Just look for that little crack in the wave. Yeah? Just where, do you know what I mean by that? Because I don't know the technical language for it. It's just where that big thing begins to split and go for it. Yeah? It's like when the Maha comes out at 4:15. Isn't it, when you're a temple devotee? It's so, you know, when you're on traveling sankirtan, it was some of the traveling sankirtan devotees talking to me the other day there. They said, it's so nice to come back to the manor. Wow. And I said, I remember when I was on traveling sankirtan, I used to always think, so nice to come back to the manor. And after being here a couple of weeks, I think, it's so nice to go on sankirtan. Because there's so many distractions at the manor. And one of the big ones was the 4:15 Maha Prasad, which was cakes and sweets and, isn't it? And when you're young and you've renounced the material world, I mean, that's like cakes and sweets on steroids. It's like, you know, isn't it? You stand in the queue and getting closer to the front and then go off with it in the hope you don't need to distribute it. It's just the one-pointedness. One-pointedness. Just fixed up like that. This was his advice. I thought, my goodness, I got to lose some weight. Dusera is about weight loss. I'm trying to make this relevant to contemporary life where obesity is. It's characteristic and metaphorical. Pyromania. You know what pyromania is? Pyromania is an obsessive disorder. I was writing about this yesterday from a blog. Most little boys have it in my mild form. Fire! Isn't it? Maybe some girls too, I don't know. As a little boy, it was like everything. I mean, matches, wow. I was recalling with my friends, we'd be setting fire to every piece of combustible material we could find in the street. We'd be setting fire to it by matches or with magnifying glasses. And then we'd go to the woods and we'd light a bonfire and like, wow, fire. And once I came home and I'd been out lighting little fires around the council estate, and I said to my father, I'm just going to put my pajamas on, Dad. And I went upstairs and I put my pajamas on. I came back down and I sat there. And my dad just went out the room, came back in with my clothes. They were stinking of fire, smoke. As we got in those days, a good spank in the bottom and sent to bed. Fire's irresistible. Fire, the element of fire's powerful. It's just enthralling. Isn't it? And what it does to stuff. Once I got a note from someone who really didn't like me, and it was so horrible, it hurt me so bad. It really hurt me. I don't know how I let it get inside me, but it was so horrible. It hurt me so deeply. I was living in India at the time. I thought, I'm going to burn this. And I went outside and ceremoniously I burnt it. And I felt I recovered something of myself, seeing it turn to black and then to silver ash. Dusera. You know, Ram killed Ravan with an arrow. He didn't set him up in a bonfire. But in Dusera, it's like, we build this big... Well, we all don't, because Saurabh complains about that every year. How come nobody ever helps to build the bonfire? I know we should be out there building the bonfire, but we all love to see it burn, isn't it? You look at all the little kids, and especially the little boys, and they're like, oh, burn it, isn't it? burn it down, isn't it? Let it burn. Burn, baby, burn. Disco Inferno. It's burn it all, isn't it? Ram kills Ravana by an arrow. We get out and we build a big bonfire and we just burn it. Yeah? We're burning demons. Pyromania is like, the drive of pyromania is to relief from stress and tension and unhappiness and, you know, and the immediate gratification of what happens in burning something. So the pyromaniac keeps lighting fires because they feel relief from tension. They're rid of all the bad stuff of themselves, and there's a gratification in that. So today, we're the Hare Krishna pyromaniacs. And as we put the big thing up there, our own shadow, you know, objectifying all of the stuff of us, all of the stuff of us that stands in the way of love and benevolence and all the good qualities that we should have. We see all of those things and we burn them with that commitment. Because when you burn something, it's embodied form. It's, isn't it? There's such a, the combustion changes the entire thing and reduces it to ash. You can't recover something that's burnt to ash. There's no way you can stick it together again. So dasera, das dushara, all the bad stuff of ourselves, hara, it's time to get rid of it. Of course, it won't be gone just in burning a fire. It's a lifetime journey, I know. Many lifetimes. But in dushara, we remain committed to that in our life. We remain committed to that ideal. We remain committed to that, you know, vow of ourselves to be our very best in Krishna consciousness. And in doing that, the rites and ceremonies and all of these things that manage these things, though objectified, on a communal level, we seek to rid ourselves and to protect our community from the evils that lurk within us as humans struggling in the foul sink of material existence. Happy Dasara. Hare Krishna.